Welcome to all of you. Maybe your first time on any committee.
That is correct.
But for those of you the first time on Ways and Means or a subcommittee, certainly welcome you, Senator Troll. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
And former Senator Leonard. It's really, and Representative Hansen. As I view this committee, we have some great experience here, and we're going to need it. So, Mr. Nicewinder tells me, and I'm thankful that we're convened together as a group. We have a significant mission. It's, as all of you know, the budget environment is a little different than we've experienced over the last few sessions. And so there are some tough choices in this budget. The one thing I would have you all think of, however, is that as was expressed during our overviews, even with this morning's revelations that maybe we've got spending that doesn't have a corresponding revenue in the printed governor's budget, there are still, as I see it, some winners and some losers in this budget. With all due respect to whomever puts it forward, is a matter of choices. To the extent that you all have choices within this public safety budget, you know, feel absolutely free to assert your point of view. I know that that won't be a problem for some of my friends. but it's absolutely welcome here. All of you have valuable experiences that you brought to this process, and we'll put out a good product together if we are able to take advantage of all your thoughts. I would also say that because you're in this position, that I hope you will look beyond just the public safety budget, because I know that some of you may have priorities in other areas that you think perhaps you're not getting the kind of treatment you hope for. And if we can identify savings even within here or in outside of this budget, I know that the co-chairs have assured me, and I think maybe in the meeting that we were at, that if we can identify something, we're going to try to stockpile those choices, those potential savings or shifts, and we'll all, as a legislature, make those ultimate choices later in this process. So we need to go through this carefully, and there are some new programs in here. Those of you who've had a chance to look at them, if they haven't started, maybe you question whether or not they should in light of other needs. Obviously, there are some existing programs that maybe you also question. One of the things I've found over the years, and Senator Troll has been a longer player here than I have, think back to a time when I chaired the Judiciary Committee in the House in 1991, and one of the favorite refrains, appreciate this, Dan, of the non-lawyers on the committee, they were always seemingly, well, I'm not a lawyer, but, or they would have these fairly expert witnesses, and it was the non-lawyers, in my view, who asked the best questions, as they bailed out some of us who, because pride got in the way of admitting we didn't have all of the necessary knowledge, they helped fill us in. Much the same as with our presentation, I thought that you and the staff did the last yesterday and days before. We said it was for the benefit of the newcomers, but I want to tell you, I had my ears open, eyes open, learned a lot. So I just hope we can have very frank and open discussions here, and again, everybody's view is extremely valued. And I'd open this to any other opening comments. Yes, Representative Lang.
In the theme of thinking outside of the public safety subcommittee, and I don't want this to come across as shallow, but you know, at the end of every session, the committee chairs hold kind of a committee party. And I've been to parties at McDonald's and in the Ramada. And Senator Miller, the one time that he gave a party, gave one at the Lake Oswego Country Club. I had never before been to the Lake Oswego Country Club, nor had I been back to the Lake Oswego. So the reason I have to be on this committee.
You want to be on the planning committee for the party.
And I just want to be assured before we get too deep into this that we're going to have our committee party at the Lake
Oswego. We should probably have several. Actually, I think there's something to that, kind of half joking, but there's some benefits in maybe getting together before the end of this session and a more relaxed setting and exchanging ideas.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. I also want to commend staff, too, on the work they've done in going through the governor's budget and also their continuing availability. Larry is a real veteran of this process, and he's been extremely helpful to me. He's been tutoring me the last, or quite a few hours the last week or so, and I'm sure he's glad to do that for all of you to whatever depth you want to go.
Mr. Chair, in addition to Larry, who are the other analysts we'll have, or are you going to tell us?
Yeah, I will. This is our very perfect time. Behind me is Robin Lamont.
Robin,
in overviews. Robin has all the agencies in this block that are related to the judicial branch, so public defender, judicial fitness commission, council on court procedures, and the judicial department. And she will be in this seat for those sessions, as well as some other ones we'll do where we talk about the criminal justice system as a whole. So, and in addition to Robin, Sheila Baker has the Youth Authority, and you probably saw her in some of their review presentations, so she will be in here when we do that. Susie Jordan has the Military Department. She'll be in here relatively early in the schedule because of the size of that one. It's primarily a federal-funded budget but has some small amounts of general fund. And then Rick Olson has the Board of Investigators for us. So, and also Robin has a Dispute Resolution Commission, which will also be assigned to this committee. On the other side of the table, and at the testimony table with the agencies, will be joined by DAS analysts, and you've met Bill McGee doing overviews. He has a lot of the public safety for DAS, with few exceptions, actually has all of it. Satisa Padye has Department of Justice and DA's budget. He's not here today. And then Monica Brown has Dispute Resolution Commission. So we will see different players at the table. For those of you new to the committee, we are counterparts, legislative branch, executive branch. They put the government budget together, and we'll talk about goals and what you can expect in terms of how we will get to the presentations and what we've done behind the scenes to prepare for work sessions and other things, so that helps you guys have a level of comfort with us, you know, in any direction you guys want us to take. We were here to serve you guys and have you guys through this process, not only increase your knowledge and take ownership of this budget and the directions you guys want to provide to it. So this is I think it's my fourth session. So and Robin's been here how many sessions? You have some senior staff that have been here for quite a while, and Bill, this is your fourth also. Yeah. So we've been here a while. We're very familiar with the process. There are no dumb questions. We want to hear anything and everything because, like Senator Miller said, that those are the best ones we need. You know, if we can't answer the questions that you consider basic, you know, then they need to be answered. A lot of things need to be revisited from time to time in order to make it work right. So we have been assigned a number of agencies, and what I was going to do was basically, if I could, walk us through sort of an orientation, I guess, so that we're prepared to take up. We have our first agency budget up in here on Monday. Robin's going to go. Okay. One of the first things, I guess, that is appropriate for us to talk about a little bit is the committee rules. These are, it's under tab one in your notebook. These are the rules that were adopted by the full committee. They govern this committee's work. All of the meetings are recorded. We have Ruth Stellmacher back here at the terminal. She will be keeping both audio coverage as well as keeping her charting a written record. We are on camera. We are on internet and on channel 30 on TV. Well,
you know what the ratings are?
I don't. It depends a lot on you guys. So if we're ever going to go off the record or on the record, it's good to, for the chair, whoever's standing in, for the chair to let her know so that we have her in tow with us, because it only works when she pushes the right buttons. So,
can we get a 5-second delay built into that?
We'll work out. I'll let Senator Miller work out a code with her, so then he's going to go on and off.
He's able to go off at any time.
Anyway, the minutes, the committee rules require us to have, you know, a quorum to transact it. So for this committee with the 5 House members and 3 senators, we're going to have at least 2 senators and at least 3 House members at any one time. The co-chairs can sit in and vote at any time. Senator Hannon is on the committee, so that's understood. But also Representative Westland can, if he wants to.
Does he just get to vote as a representative?
Yep.
So he can't vote as a senator?
And actually, their vote, if they sit in, doesn't change the quorum requirement, so there's an extra.
But he and Hannon are going to probably vote together on those things.
Well,
Mr. Chair, you may be outvoted.
If there's any questions about those, we are required, to, any bill they assign to us, required to work it out. We can't table it or anything. It's got to either come out of here by vote, or they could by option to reassign it. We've got a list of budget bills, and we'll go over those in a minute, but later in the session, you'll see that there'll be a number of other bills, depending on where we are in our workload. If we have time and availability, and certainly in the subject matter area, we'll get a lot of other bills assigned here to work and start here. So workload is tentative. We have set up, with Senator Miller, to set up a 4-day work schedule. So we will stick to that. It's a Monday through Thursday with Friday off.
Unless some of you want to change that. 3 days? Monday through
Wednesday. If there's any questions on the rules, we'll take a roll call vote if any one of you wants to have it on a roll call. Generally, that's probably works best to have a roll call vote, and we'll make sure we account for everybody that way. Otherwise, it's up to the chair if he wants to find out if there's no objections, and we can adopt amendments in work session without that.
Do you want a motion? I'll move adoption.
So actually, I think these are already.
I was going to ask their question.
Yeah.
They just come down from the big group.
We're governed by them. And 24-hour notice requirements are in place. So you will see, I've got a schedule here and back in the office that I will schedule committee notices with. If there's any questions about the schedule, feel free to call them. I might have you write this name and number down so that you can give it to your staff. Because if you're ever going to be absent or leave, it's good to let me know so I can let the chair know when we're going to have folks here, if in fact you can't be here at the beginning of the meeting. Ryan Whalen, W-H-A-L-E-N, is the scheduler in our office, and if your staff could call if they know you're going to be late or even unable to attend. His number is 986-1830, and it does help us a lot in the process.
Your name was what? Not
Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah.
One thing about the rules, too, although this would not be an issue here, but there's no minority reports that are allowed in the Ways and Means Committee. So we do whatever we can to get submission.
That's correct. And on that note, if for any reason we have reported something out that you do object to and you wish to speak to it on the floor, the rules talk about giving the carrier and the chair of the committee a courtesy acknowledgement that you're going to speak against it on the floor, if that in fact is your plan. Susie Jordan has stepped into the room. I'd like to introduce her to you while we have that moment for Michelle, and she's going to be able to stay. She's the budget analyst for military. And when I get to the schedule, you'll see that that's going to be the third budget schedule in here. So, and she's also here probably to talk to you a little bit about the tour that's coming. Why don't we do that right now, just because you're here and I know you may have to leave. There's several off-site field visits that we try to do early in session when it's easier to get you guys out of here before there's key votes. Some of you want to be here for votes, and that's fine. We'll make alternative transportation arrangements where we can. However, in the case of the military, this one is a trip that they're not allowed, and it's probably back by a floor session because it involves a helicopter flight. So we'll talk more about the other trips and getting commitments from here in a minute, but since Susan's here, I'll let her give you some background on a planned trip for military that's Monday the 29th.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Susan Jordan, Legislative Fiscal Office. I did get to your offices a copy, a memo on the tour, and it lays out the itinerary, except for Senator Troh, who's just been announced for this committee, or that I know of. I just found out that you're part of the committee, so I'll get you a copy of it, too. And I think that all of you have gotten me your Social Security numbers both now so that I can get that to the military department. But the tour will leave the Capitol building here at 7:30 a.m., and we will meet out at the front steps. And we'll, where the military will pick us up in a couple of vans. We'll arrive at the Salem Airport on the military, at the military hangar, and then we will, from there, we will board the Black Hawk helicopters, and they will fly us up to Camp Withicum, where we will tour the military museum and get a look at their equipment refurbishment operations. They will then fly us up to Portland Air Base, where we will tour the Jackson Armory, and following that, a quick tour of the air base, and then back to Salem. So you'll be back in Salem about 12:30, back at the Capitol.
Representative Leonard.
Susan, can we be assured that they're not going to discuss their budget while we're in flight? I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I have some memories of certain
there. Yes, sir. I can make sure that
okay.
That is.
We could do that. I'd appreciate that.
Speaking of submission.
Yeah.
Representative Hansen.
Well, it's not that I'm an alarmist or anything, but it's a good idea if you put your dental record in with the clerk at the clerk's office.
The press turnout, eh?
These pilots are highly trained and probably the best that you will find.
I'll get some word.
They probably have the most experience. So that's about what the tour will be about. It should be an interesting morning.
And we expect to be back by.
But you'll be back about. We'll arrive back in Salem about noon. We'll get here at the Capitol, you know, between noon and 12:30. Depends on how fast we can get on in the vans and back here. You will need to get excused from the floor session.
And actually,
probably.
if you know you're going to go and can let me or Susie know, I will facilitate that. And if there's any problems with the desk with that, I can find that out for you. And I know there are some that just can't miss it, can't be gone that morning, and that's fine. I think the military, there may be other tours later on, too, that they might, if they miss you on this one, there may be some other opportunity later on. Is it possible, if by show of hands, to show me which ones of you are going to be able to make this trip or plan to, unless some intervening comes up? It's like, okay, just about everybody.
I'm going to check my script.
Okay. I'll make sure at both desks if there's any problem or any with that, I'll be sure and let you know. Okay? Great. Thank you, Susie.
How many helicopters does it take to get us all? One?
They're going to take two.
Two.
Okay. If you could turn to, let's see, it's under tab two for a minute. What I wanted to let you know is that each week there'll be a daily posting for the schedule, and we'll have it outside the meeting room as well as come in here. I'll have an agenda for you, but also I will put together a weekly agenda so that you and your staff can see what's coming ahead, at least for the week. For sure, so you can plan ahead. This particular shows all of next week. We've got public hearings and possible work session on Monday and Tuesday, the corrections tour on Wednesday, and youth authority tours on Thursday. But just know that I'll be trying to get that out to you and your staff, and then if there's anything that you absolutely know you're not going to be here for, just let us know. Right behind that is the schedule of the bills that are assigned to this committee right now. These are all budget bills. The second bill has been taken off that list. It was initially put on there thinking it was a capital construction bill only for Department of Corrections, and actually it's a It is a capital construction bill that has all projects, whether it's military, forestry, and other agencies. So it's not assigned currently to this committee, but I will tell you, when we get to the Department of Corrections budget, we will talk about all the capital instructions projects, and we will provide that committee with recommendations as to what this committee believes is, fits with the budget that we're working out of here. So we will have input on it, even if we don't have our work to live or assigned in this committee. That's the list of all the budget bills that we will be assigned to, and there's the LFO analyst and BAM analyst names right beside them. So you'll have occasion to carry some of these budget bills on your respective floors, and those of you on full committee, in terms of helping you out with that, we'll talk about what roles are. I will make sure that I'm a part of any amendments, helping you in terms of preparation for the floor sessions and full sessions, preparing the we call them ponies, the floor speeches that you can use, and you can also supplement if you have time or opportunity and your staff would want to. Also, there's agency folks that would be more than willing to help you if you want to supplement what we give you. But we have some minimum criteria we try to meet to make sure that the floor speeches covers enough information so that people know what budget it is, what bill it is, what the key changes to it are, if any major policy decisions are inherent in that, and any major enhancements or reductions. Try to highlight those things for you.
I believe staff, I think our, at least last time, our rules permitted the staff to come and sit at your desk just in case someone had the audacity to ask you a question.
We will make ourselves available. We're going to be in the side aisles at a minimum, and if we know by previous conversation with you that you'd like us to make ourselves in that side chair beside you when the bill comes up, that's what we'll do. So we're there to what you prefer.
Senator Crow, did you have a question? I just was wondering, based on what you said, Larry, does that mean the ponies will be a little more extensive than they have been?
We try to keep...
ponies is their statement that you carry on the floor about the bill. Usually it's what you read and use.
We try to keep those two no more than a page, double-spaced page, to hit the highlights. And then U.S. Carrier, it's your prerogative. Again, if you want to brief that up some or make it longer or if there's something specific that you want to speak to, you're free to do that. We're trying to provide a tool to get you through that process. We think it works well. We try to build on experience that we've had in the past with having some of these things happen. But you'll know from floor sessions when you're in the side aisles and other caucuses what the positions is on certain things, and maybe you guys have beat this to death both in both caucuses, and you just want to go up there and say something very brief and take the vote. That's your prerogative as well. That's a minimum requirement, but we will give you. And what we do is the bill, once it's ready and amended and going up to the floors, we will personally, either myself or my staff, will make sure that the bill file folder is at your office, and they're all the same color. You'll recognize them immediately, and you should get it the day before at least, so you can look at it and be familiar with it. And then when you know you're going to carry a bill on the floor, you want to sit down with us the afternoon before or the morning of and go over it again to refresh your memory. That's what we're here for. So, just believe me, the work will go by, and then the bill will disappear and go through full committee and go through all of its amendments, and a week or two may pass before you see it again. By that time, we've worked through two or three other budgets, and you know, what did we do? That could happen. What I've given you, the next thing behind there is a tentative schedule, and this is this gives you a sense of which budgets are going to come up when. I want to point out that right under the title, it's very tentative. It does change because circumstances change. Either we'll run over or short on a budget, or something will come up to where we need to juggle these, either based on agency readiness and preparation, or somebody key to the presentations being gone. But in general, it gives you an idea of how what works and what's worked in the past in terms of a sequence. We've got small budget coming in. It's a little less than $3 million, the parole board budget. The next one I'm preparing for is the Department of Justice budget. It's not real large in terms of the general fund, but it It has a significant impact on other state agency budgets because of the central charges that they pass through in their AG rates, and it's good to work that one early because of the rippling effect it could have on other agency budgets. Then we return to military, which is, again, a large budget, but not a large general fund in it. Dispute resolution is got a very small amount of general fund. We'll get into the larger budgets, as you can see here, beginning in late February, early March. State police budget is the second largest budget, actually third largest behind judicial. We tend to save the judicial branch later and youth authority and corrections till later. Judicial usually has substantive policy legislation down the other end of the hall, and we'd like to see what kind of progress they're going to make on that because lots of the policy decisions inherent in those bills do have a budget impact. And for youth authority and corrections, we tend not to do those until after April because there's a prison population and youth authority population forecast comes out end of March, early April. In fact, their plan is on the Thursday, March 22nd, is to release the prison population forecasts in this committee so that you guys will be the first ones to hear what those are. And the departments take those, and over the next 2 weeks, they will rework the governor's recommended budget based on changes that those forecasts require. So we'll work those a little bit later in session. But use this as a tool if you want to know updates, and you know if anything in here is specific proposes a conflict, or you let me know. But that's the tentative approach to get through there, and it's, as you can see, we're scheduled out till mid-May. About that time, once we wind out of budgets, that's when we start getting other bills assigned to us. If there's crime legislation coming out of either House or Senate committees, it's been referred to Ways and Means. This is the committee that usually gets to read and review that, and as funding allows, pass them out. Under tab 3, there's just copies of information that's been previously sent to your offices, and I just wanted to see if I could confirm with you today how many would be able to, are planning on going to the Department of Corrections prison tour, which is scheduled for Wednesday of next week. Have you had a chance to think about that one and plan on going? Any show of hands, anybody going to feel the okay.
I'm not sure.
There's time still. They were hoping to get some commitments. If any of your staff wanted to go, there's a form that they need to have turned in early on, and I didn't know if anybody has any staff.
Okay, we sent things to the officers.
We have, but I need to get a couple things to you. Do you know if any of your staff want to attend any of this?
I think my staff member would like to attend in my place on the military tour.
Okay. Do you know their number? I could reach them at and give them a call.
6-14-54.
Okay. I'll call and get that name for you.
Yeah, her name is Betsy.
Okay.
And these tours, well, it says back at noon.
Yes.
We're all as a correction tour.
And I would want to note both of these next two tours, the corrections and the DPSST, they have, I set them up with the understanding that if anybody wanted to be back earlier for floor session, that they would make sure that they have transportation arrangements to do that. It may mean that you might only go to one of two facilities that they plan on taking you to in corrections, but they will make sure you get back by floor session if that's your wish. DPSST is in Monmouth. It's about a 15, 20-minute drive from here. They will also make sure you're back by floor session if that's your wish. And so I'd like to have you for a part of the time. If not, they can't have you for all of it. So at this point, just by show of hands, Department of Corrections, one more time, is who would be available for that one? Okay.
For a portion of it.
For a portion of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you're gone that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Probably not. Yet.
Okay.
I might do the DPSST.
Okay. The Tuesday the 30th is the DPSST. There's a very large budget and policy decision there to be made this session. They have plans to build a central academy, and they're still doing site visits and site evaluations and haven't made a site selection yet, but they have plans to build anywhere from, I don't know, $60 to $80 million cost range of a central training academy. They want to show you what they have now, what their plans are, and how they're executing their business plan, what a role this plays in that. So there'll be a capital construction issue before the, in the capital construction bill, probably, if they put their plan together by that time. And in their budget, there'll be debt service. There'll be budgeted for that, too, as well. So something like $5.4 million, I believe, other funds. So
COPs.
Yeah, COP, other funds. Yeah. So if you can go, that's a worthwhile one to go to because of the major construction decision we have to make when we get to that budget. So just those are, these are copies of materials that have come to your offices already. Can you give me an idea as to how many might be able to go to the DPSST tour? Like just about everybody?
Yeah, okay. Part of it.
Okay, good. Of those that want to have transportation back before floor session, then would that be representative? No, anybody else want to get back by floor session that day? Okay.
Maybe we should see what's,
you know, how long is it?
My huge bills that I know of yet.
Okay. I will make sure that they know that, that that's a prerequisite for some of you to go.
Okay.
Next on the agenda under tab 4, just again, we talked about some of this, but I think it's important that, you know, I'm here to serve this committee and what makes the process work and work well. And we went through the presentation format in full committee, and we will follow that very closely, and it will ensure that you guys get consistent presentations from agencies as well. What I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, what my role is and what I do, and hopefully give you some assurance that these things are going to get looked at very closely. Yes, we have a lot to do in a relatively short time, but there's a lot goes on behind the scenes. I'm in here every morning with you. Afternoons are working budgets, and we will, at the beginning of every one of these things, I will give you, sort of set the stage, let you know who's before you, what they do, how their budget is built, some of the key issues that we're going to be facing when we talk about their budget. Bring you up to date on any budget notes that were previously asked to comply with. Talk to you a little bit about what they've done. Any audit reports that were done by Secretary of State or Joint Interim Audit Committee. If we directed them to do any interim studies, I'll talk to you about that. Just sort of bring you up to date on what they had to be asked to be do them during the interim. And then summarize any significant policy issues. Talk to you about what happened if they came to the e-board frequently or not, and what the issues were. And then we'll get into an agency presentation. They will provide you with information during that and follow the format that we've set out. A lot of detailed information will be provided. There's an agency overview that the agency head will give you, and then we'll go into detail. I'd say that the detailed part of the presentation, and we'll go back through that detailed piece every time. They have budget units they set up, and every time they go back to a different budget unit, they're going to take you back through the detailed presentation. I think the best way to approach probably is at the end of each one of those detailed presentations, if we have questions about that budget unit before we move to the next one, that you guys make sure you get everything on the record. What I've told the agencies I want them to do is try to answer as many questions as possible before we leave a budget unit. If they can't, then we will have, before we go to work session, we'll have a wrap-up day where anything that's outstanding that you need answers back on, they get back to you then. So try to keep it as compartmentalized as possible, but there are times when questions get asked and they can't get right back to you in the next day or so. It may take a little longer to develop it, but part of my job is to make sure that you do get the answers.
Senator Crowe?
As we look at these budgets, do we look pretty much at what the governor's recommending, or do we go to concurrent service level? I know we do both to some extent, but we're sort of starting with the budget, with the governor's recommendations.
Senator Troy, we're going to have them talk to us about what's in their base budget, and what's their base budget funds, and then talk line by line what things they're phasing in, what builds up to their current service level budget, and then package by package anything that's either a reduction or enhancement to the current service level. So we're gonna deal with it piece by piece. Just so that...
But anything that affects the current service level.
Anything that affects the current service level. You will see in the development of some of the budgets that are in here, you're going to see a lot of things that are reductions to the base budget. And we'll talk about those and their impacts. And anything that affects how the current service level is built, because you've got a number of factors in there. If we have phased in positions last biennium, you're going to see some roll-ups that are going to occur this biennium in there because of a decision that was made by the previous legislature. Some decisions that were made by the previous legislature are reversed through the governor's rec, and so we'll talk about that. But we will go through line by line. And part of what Bill's going to talk to you about is what his role is in presenting the governor's rec and talking about the budget development process and what they do before it ever gets here. It's probably a good time for you to do that, Bill. But we don't, part of my role behind the scenes is once the governor's notebooks are here and we're working that budget, is I'm going to look at it, the base budget, everything that's in there. Do they have positions? How are they using those positions? Are there vacant positions? Are they extended vacancies? And if so, why? And if they're vacant, see, a position, as long as it's created and it keeps rolling up in their budget. So if it's a position they've got and aren't using, they're getting money, continuing to get money for that position automatically, and it rolls up each biennium. So I look to see if there's vacancy history, and if there's a vacancy history and I don't see them utilizing the position they got, then it's time to take that position away or look to see if they've got some other needs that they're using that money for. What are they? Where is the integrity in the budget? Do we need to move that money somewhere else? Do they need temporaries instead because they're not using the position for what it was originally created? You know, those are the kinds of questions I'm going to ask. I look at expenditure patterns. I get their expenditure information for 18 months, and I extrapolate it out over 24 months, and I go over line by line with the agency and say, what are you doing and why, and what's happening with the expenditure patterns? If I see that they've got, in this case, limitation or appropriation that exceeds their expenditure patterns, we're going to look to make reductions or move money to other places to try to make sure that what's budgeted, it's what's being executed. If I look at revenue sources to see if the revenue that they're building their budget assuming on, if those are sound or not, and if it's understated or overstated, I'll let you know that. Because they don't have the money, they can't spend what we're going to budget them for. We look at the impact of proposed law changes down the hall and things that might do to the budget. And some of these budgets, best to hold them if there's major proposed law changes. Others, we will, if there's law changes that affect the budget, we will put appropriations or limitations in those bills, and then it will ultimately roll up to the budget, and so we won't hold the budget up for that reason. But we will review the impact of reductions with you guys so you know what the impact is. We will talk about policy packages and how they're built. I'll look at details to look at the positions, the classifications, whether they're phasing them in appropriately, if there's 16 months or 18 months in error, is that realistic? Is that what's necessary? I'm looking at all those things so that it's appropriate.
Larry, how will you deal with the rebounds that took place at the last board?
Core Department of Corrections. Good question. A couple of large agencies rebalance. If we give them a certain amount of money, corrections, $750 million, for example, over in the interim, they can't manage, and it's set up in chunks. Their appropriation bills got line items where it says certain programs get certain amount of dollars. If they can't manage within those dollars, they got to come to the e-board and move them around, and talk about why they're moving them around and what drove them to do that and what problems they're fixing. We call it a rebalance. Well, those things that occur after April of 2000, basically, it's as though they didn't occur. Everything goes back to the previous appropriation line items, and we start over when they come in here and build their budget. So they don't have a permanent effect on their budget and how it's allocated.
So you begin with the figures, not the figures of the rebalance.
Correct.
Deal with figures. Okay.
Correct. However, they were previously budgeted. And they'll justify them based on that. I mentioned you'll have questions, and I'll try to make sure I keep track of those questions and that you get answers to your questions. Some of the agencies will try to respond to you in here on the record. Others will try, depending on the nature of the question, they'll try to catch you and make an appointment with you and meet with you and go through the concerns with you directly. And we encourage that.
Mr. Chair, some of the rebalances, I understood it anyway, in the e-board was to set the stage for the budget reductions that the governor would have in his budget. So I think the rebalance does relate at least to what the governor will then do in his budget.
That's correct, yeah. One of the things that the Department of Corrections is doing, for instance, is reducing the number of places where they provide certain programs and changing how they deliver correctional programs. And as a result of that, certain monies that were budgeted for 9901 are being used in other areas. Well, it's also ramping them down to where, to an expenditure level they believe they're going to have to live with come July 1. So in that respect, the rebalance plan sets the tone for their governor's recommended budget in terms of where you're going to see some cuts. They're already starting to implement some of those. As staff to the committee, I will help you with you if issues are discussed and there's a direction that you guys want to have a budget note drafted for you guys to consider adopting or have the co-chairs consider allowing to go through into the budget report. You know, if I know what the nature of the content you want in that, I will draft it for you, go over it with you, and then present it to you. We can discuss it on the record. And if it's something that we want to have the co-chairs consider, then I'll facilitate that as well.
Okay. Representative Leonard.
Explain for us the impact of a budget note or the legal meaning of a budget note or enforceability.
It isn't enforceable like a statute or a law. It is sort of a, if it provides budget direction, in other words, something that you want them to, certain area that you want them to provide information to you, either through the e-board report or give you back information on. We've said, for instance, the state police, we've given them some staffing, minimum staffing level targets. We said, you know, this is what the subcommittee expects you to do, and if you can't do it, come back and tell us that you can't do it. If you can't maintain minimum staffing levels and control of fish and wildlife, we want to know. This is what we expect you to do based on the budget we're approving. If you can't do it, come back and tell us. So it gives them accountability, it gives them some direction, the things you want them to look at, study, report back on. Last thing, then we wanted the parole board to do an internal business review to see if it was automating processes and if it could get in the most efficient and effective use of its staff. Budget note directed them to do that. Something you want them to do within their approved budget that's not, doesn't require a law, doesn't require, requires them to prioritize and do certain activities within that approved budget, but doesn't take the place of a law or a bill or something that would require them to change their required activities. Does that help?
Yes.
So if I think you're the concept to do it, I'll give you feedback on that. If I have some concerns about it, I'll tell you that as well. I will also work with Senator Miller on presenting those to the co-chairs and talking about the rationale behind it. And if there's some way to get from what we've proposed to acceptable, we'll work on that together. It's part of you guys taking ownership of the budget and wanting to see some things that, you know, one of the things they want to have included in the budget reports this time is a performance expectation. That's part of it. What would we like you to do with what we're giving you, and what would we like you to come back to next session and talk to us about? We'll talk about that in each budget. They don't have force and effect of law, but we revisit them every biennium, so there's accountability. You know, I will go through in my intro, here's a budget note, here's what we asked them to do. They'll talk about what they did in response to that. So they generally get time and attention, and the agencies are very responsive to them for that reason. I will, when we go to go through budgets and discussion, I will come in prepared with recommendations on base budget adjustments, policy package adjustments, budget notes, and we'll talk through all that. I will facilitate the bill amendments after we get out of here and develop the things that help you guys get this, the bill presented to full committee on the floors and assist you on the floor. So, anything else you can think of? I think it's important that you understand I'm here to make the process work well, and I'll try to give you guys as much notice as possible of things that change. Bill's going to talk to you about his role in the process, and he's in here with most of the agencies that are going to be here. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. For the record, I am Bill McGee from the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. And I think, first of all, we appreciate the opportunity to meet with you today and to work with you this session. It is also our goal to help you get your jobs done in any way that we can do that. Please feel free to call us at any time. Larry asked me to do two things today. One was to just explain very briefly what our role is in the process, both during session and during the rest of the time. and then to go through very quickly the components of the budget, which is how we build the governor's budget. Section 5 of your notebooks, just the outline of what I'll talk about today. In terms of our office, we really have two sections of relevance to, I think. The budget section, I and the other analysts are in. We begin, the agency submits their budget request to the governor. We review those and do analysis. I think very similar to what Larry described is what he does, looking at vacancies, revenue, expenditure history, expenditure levels, policy implications as well. And we make budget recommendations and present options to the governor. We then prepare the governor's recommended budget document that you all have copies of. We appear here, obviously, to present the governor's budget to the legislature and provide you information on what is and what is not in that budget. When the session is over, we're responsible for working with the agencies and monitoring agency budget execution, allotments on a quarterly basis. We review emergency board requests, make recommendations to the governor as to what he should put in the agenda, not put in the agenda, what recommendations should be made to you. And then, at a catch-all, we do research on budget and policy issues for the governor as requested. The other significant section in our office is the Automated Budget Information, or ABIS, section. As you go through each budget and you get the notebooks from the agency, you'll see textual information at the front and computer printout interspaced through and then in a larger section in the back. I don't know if you covered that at all during your tools section yesterday.
We did.
Our ABIS section produces that information. They manage the statewide budget system where the expenditure and revenue dollars are entered. That's called the ABIS system, and also the position information or PIC system where we have information on every position outside of higher education.
Mr. Senator, just a question briefly. I know that the new Orbis is going to take, going to replace the ABIS. Is it going to replace PICS as well?
Mr. Chair, Senator, not immediately.
But it will.
Eventually, we will come back with a project request to do that. But we're biting off one piece at a time. Our ABIS section audits the budget and position data that's submitted by the agencies for accuracy, completeness, and adherence to the policies and the rules of how budgets are built. They produce all the statewide budget reports that you see in the governor's budget and other times, and they maintain the budget allotment system for execution, which the agencies receive an allotment on a quarterly basis. That's what we do. The next page for your reference is just our analysts who you'll see before you and which agencies they have and our phone numbers if we can be of assistance to you. So that's kind of just a review of our role in the process. But move on to page 3 and just quickly go through the budget development process in terms of what are the components of the budget that you'll see at different phases. And we'll take you through the base budget, the current service level, and then the governor's recommended, and then the legislatively adopted budget. Base budget starts off defined as first the legislatively approved budget, and there are two pieces to that. The first is the legislatively adopted budget, which is what you will enact by the time you leave here in June or July or whenever. And then emergency actions through April 2000, as Larry indicated, those are also included in the base budget. There are a number of adjustments included at the base budget level. The first set are really position action changes, any position administrative reclassifications. Our division has statutory authority to establish, increase, decrease, abolish positions as long as there's no long-term budget increases. Position phases and phase outs, for example, if you have a position that you establish that will begin halfway through the biennium and then be a permanent position, here you'll see the roll-up cost for a full 24 months. It was initially funded for 12 months. Phase outs where a position is supposed to end at the end of a program, you'll also see those funds will be reduced here. Any positions you establish as limited duration will be abolished at this point as well, so the cost don't automatically roll forward to the next biennium. Salary increases negotiated with unions or approved by the governor for management to non-union employees here, and individual merit increases or step increases are all included in that cost of position actions.
Also, base budget debt service adjustments. For example, when you fund a capital construction project, the second biennium's debt service is likely to be larger because you normally fund it sometime in the middle of the biennium. So we'll roll up changes in debt service, or if a COP, for example, was paid off, the debt service would fall off. You'd see that here as well. There are certain programs referred to as non-limited, where the state really doesn't have a policy control over the money. It's generally things that are passed through to local governments. You don't limit the expenditures. You just sort of note what the expenditure level is, and adjustments will occur here as well as base budget. So that takes you through the base budget. The next level in building the budget is the current service level, and that consists of the base budget plus a series of essential packages to get to what is the cost of operating approved programs in this case, the 2001-2003 budget. So essential packages, you'll have some vacancy history adjustments. So if there are a lot of vacancies in an agency, a lot of turnover, we'll make some adjustments there to get a better estimate of what the likely personal services expenditures are. Increases in overtime, differential, temporaries costs that are not driven by a specific position will occur here. For example, a percentage increase based on a union contract or an inflation increase will occur here. Program phase-ins, primarily service and supplies, capital outlay costs, non-position phase-ins you'll see here. Program phase-outs, one-time expenditures will be eliminated in current service level. Very often you'll see information systems projects that are funded with an expectation that when the project is done, the money goes away, and you'll see those reduced at this point as well. Cost of goods and services or inflation adjustments will incur here. We have several different levels of inflation adjustments. Medical inflation is generally higher than regular inflation. The cost for state government employees, non-state government employees, rather, contracted services to counties is another rate. Those are established in cooperation with the state economist's office and applied here. Mandated caseload increases, that's significant in the Department of Human Services. You will also see mandated caseloads increases in this committee for the Department of Corrections and Youth Authority when the prison population or the close custody youth population increases. You'll generally see cost here as well. We have a couple of catch-alls if there are fund shifts or revenue adjustments that follow established legislative budget policy. You'll see them here. And there are occasionally some technical adjustments where you may be moving some costs from one program unit within an agency to another with no net impact. So that takes the current service level. The agency request budget consists of the current service level plus policy packages. Policy packages, you'll see a number of those. Those are changes in policy, changes in levels of funding. There'll be packages to establish or expand programs. There'll be packages to reduce or eliminate programs. Transferring programs from one agency to another would be a policy package. A shift in expenditures from one fund type to another where the shifts aren't authorized by approved budget policy, you'll see as a policy package.
Is that the part where we'll see the reductions then that the governor will have been made?
The governor's reductions will all be in policy packages. Generally, 090 will be the number you'll
see. Don't see them in any other place.
This is where they'll see you. They'll be shown, given to you for a policy choice. You'll see new or increased fees here. Reorganization proposals, if the governor's proposing or agencies are proposing new legislation that have a fiscal impact, you'll see policy packages for that. And new construction projects, you'll also see in policy packages as well. Then the governor's recommended budget has the agency request budget plus or minus the government deductions and additions. And then the legislatively adopted budget is the governor's recommended plus or minus your reductions and additions. That's the components of how we build the budget, how you build the budget.
Thank you, Bill.
Just in the way of closing, we will, the co-chairs are in the process of developing the co-chairs budget. It's one of those things that will come together over the next week, two to three weeks. Before we pass any big budgets out, that'll certainly probably be formulated and shared with you. And I will be working in the meantime with Senator Miller and the co-chairs directly on a case-by-case basis if we have some of the smaller, a small agency like parole board or military, to make sure that if we're going to come into work session on it, that we have their agreement that this is not inconsistent with where they're headed with the co-chair's budget if it somehow gets out of subcommittee before that's finally out there. In past sessions, we haven't actually held up some of the smaller budgets pending that the publication of the co-chair's budget, as long as we are working with them and we know that it's not going to create any significant conflicts with what they do plan to put out. I'll work with Senator Miller and the co-chairs to see whether or not we can move the parole board budget out. That's why it's a possible work session on Tuesday. But we will have some direction from them. When I pose my recommendations, I will try to be very careful about making sure you understand that if I say this is an LFO recommended change, or if this is a change necessary to carry out the co-chair's budget. I'll try it so that you understand that sometimes there will be distinguishing factors between that. But I'll be try to be very clear with you. I'll try to get work session papers to you in advance so that you can look at them. If I schedule a work session and we're going to get into it and discuss it, if there's significant questions, you know, and Senator Miller wants to not complete the work session or hold it over to another day to complete it to give you additional time, that's something we'll adjust the schedule for. I've just got to give 24 hours notice in order to get back to a work session. So I'm hoping that when we get there, that I'll have a chance to talk to each of you and have some comfort, degree of comfort with the recommendations that we have. Facilitate getting them out of here. Monday we'll have parole board committee for the first time, and they'll have this is a relatively small budget notebook, and we'll go through it. I went through this in an orientation meeting yesterday. I know some of you weren't able to be there. If you or your staff want me to sit down and talk through some of the components of the notebook and how it's built and things they can be looking for you, or if you have them doing other research, I'll be happy to do that. Just give me a call. I'll try to work something into my afternoons. And otherwise, when we come down to individual questions about notebooks and stuff during session, you know, during any of the sessions, I'll be happy to come around and get you oriented to them. You guys have any questions?
This is something we should take to our office and keep.
You're free to take that to your office and keep that, yeah.
As a schedule.
They're also nice enough to store your notebooks here.
Yeah.
That's still a policy, I guess. Yes. Shelf space.
Yes, we will. The notebooks that you need for the committee will be sitting in front of your place every day. If you leave your materials here, what Ruth will do is put the materials that are sitting in front of you in a file folder that's designated for your name so that they will be here tomorrow, the very next day. They'll be in your folder. The things that the agency handed out, this three-hole punch that will fit into the notebook that we have for you already or one that they're giving you to add presentation materials, we'll put them in there for you. You can take the materials with you. Yes.
Well, you get lots of notebooks.
Yes. So you can leave the materials in here every day. There is another committee that meets in the afternoon, so we'll have to be picked up in the room we arranged for that. And then if you just take them with you, just bring them back the next day. Otherwise, you can leave them. She'll put them on the shelf till the next morning and have them back out for you the next day.
And they can come get them during the day and study.
Sure.
Don't lock up the room. All right. Well, we thank you all for your attendance. And we'll see you Monday at 8:30 a.m. The committee is adjourned.